He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. And as I was thinking about those words to that song and our series, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, which we are concluding now this morning, I was just thinking back. We started this at the new year. I mean, we've been at this for several weeks now. And many of you have been through the whole journey. Some of you have maybe just been coming in the last few weeks. Maybe some of you, you're here for the first time, in which case, my name's Kirk. Nice to see you. Nice to see all of you. But I'm very conscious of the fact that as we've been talking about emotions and feelings and thoughts and histories and past and things that often just, quite frankly, get ignored in church, I realize for some of you this series has been really encouraging. For some of you, it's been very discouraging. Maybe you feel very defeated, overwhelmed. Maybe it's caused you to just dig up some stuff that you'd rather have just kept hidden. But knowing that, like a beach ball, eventually it's going to come to the surface, so the sooner you deal with it, the better. Particularly the last words of that song, he is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He's able, more than able, to make me what He wants to be. And this morning, if there's nothing else that you get out of anything that I say, or even this whole series, it's that God has a plan and He has a purpose for your life. And first and foremost, that plan and purpose is to know you and love you unconditionally. That you are in a safe place. Ben, I like how you said, you know, this is the place to be. This is a safe place. You are safe with God because God loves you and accepts you despite everything in your past, present, and future. And I think there's a lot of people that don't come into this building because there's too much guilt and shame, and they think, that place isn't for me, that's where all the perfect people go, and I'm messed up. And maybe some of you, each week you come sitting here and you think, I'm messed up, but everybody around me, they've got it together, and I feel very odd and awkward, but I'm just going to smile and put on a mask and fake it. But the fact of the matter is, every single one of us is screwed up. In fact, if we can, I would like us all just to say together, as loud as you can, I'm messed up. Can we do that? Now, that was messed up because it wasn't even together. So let's just say it together. I'm messed up. Okay, gosh, I feel like a 12-step program or something here. But to some degree, we are, because of sin, because of the life, the effects of life and the chaos of life. And we've been talking about ways that we're messed up, and we've been talking specifically about top 10 signs of unhealthy spirituality. Many of you probably have these memorized by now because we've been going through them each week. But using God to run from God, ignoring the emotions of anger, sadness, and fear, dying to the wrong things, denying the past's impact on the present, dividing life into sacred and spiritual compartments, doing for God instead of being with God, spiritualizing away conflict, covering over brokenness, weakness, and failure, living without limits, and finally judging the spiritual journey of others. And you know, we've been talking about this whole iceberg thing, right? And how there's about 10% of the iceberg that we can see and that we let other people see, but buried beneath the surface is all sorts of junk, all sorts of stuff that we mask and hide and maybe we ignore or we certainly don't want other people to see. And yet the longer it's underneath the surface, the longer it fails to be addressed and dealt with. And sort of like cancer, there's nothing probably worse than a doctor telling you you have cancer, but the sooner the doctor tells you and the sooner you get treatment, the less effect that cancer is going to have on your body. If you deny it, ignore it, doctor sometimes says it's too late. We got to deal with the issues, and the sooner we get courageous and face issues in our lives, and we've all got them, the sooner and the easier the process is going to be toward getting emotionally healthy and whole. In the series, we've looked at how to know ourselves in order to know God with the story of David and Goliath. We talked about Joseph and going back in order to go forward. Abraham and journey through the wall. Jesus, enlarging your soul through grief and loss. We looked at discovering the rhythms of the daily office and Sabbath in the life of Daniel. And then last week, we talked about what does it mean to be emotionally mature. And we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan. And before we wrap up, I think it's a perfect time for us just to pause and pray, and then we'll continue on and wrap up the series. This has really been our New Year's series. We've been starting since the beginning of the year. And when we think about this new year, even though it's not so new anymore, but being all that God wants us to be and exceeding, becoming the dream that He has for us, finding our purpose and fulfillment and then living that out. It's a pretty audacious thing. And yet it's exactly what God wants for you and for me this morning, I believe. So let's pray. Almighty God, I thank You that You're a God of miracles. You're a God who is able to do exceedingly more than we can ever ask or dream or imagine. And I just pray this morning that Your Holy Spirit would fill me and fill each of us and cover us. I pray for those that are digging up wounds that have never been addressed, that You would bring grace and mercy and healing. I pray for people that feel defeated this morning, that You would give them a vision of hope and the purpose and the plans that You have for them. I'm sure many of us in this room are hurting and suffering for one reason or another. And I pray that Your presence would draw so near and close. It thrills me to think that we are never alone, but You are with us always. Always. And I pray that Your Spirit and Your presence would be tangible this morning, especially to those that are suffering and grieving. And for those that are rejoicing and celebrating today, may this be a day of great joy and gladness and celebration. Wherever we're at in our spiritual journey, wherever we're at in our emotional journey today, I pray that we would leave this place loving You, Jesus, more, and prepared to serve and be more like You and looking more and more like You. In Christ's name, amen. Well, today, I wanted, before we dive in, I thought I would just ask the question, because I've heard some individual people talking to me and sharing different things, but I'm just wondering, I know maybe this is new and different and awkward to have any sort of discussion in a room this size, it's not like Sunday school or whatever, but I just wonder if anyone would be courageous just to share what, if anything, they've learned in this series, how they've been challenged, growth, encouraged, anything you'd like to share about the series. And if it's bad, then we'll try and make it really good today. If it's really good, we'll just pray and go home.
Well, I think almost every category there you can find in some way where that impacts us. Even if many times, it could be many years ago or some time ago when we were able to identify with those things, with them in the past, but we are people that are quick to forget, so it's been tremendous reminders of some of the things that sometimes things just tend to be coming up, in that little space in the mind that rear up behind you, and you receive a reminder of something that you may have let go or you may have forgotten about that is a help to you in putting something that was once to rest, maybe it wasn't totally to rest, and you can look at it again, so. That's something that comes to mind about, that has been coming to mind with me in this series that we've been doing.
Great. Yeah, thanks for sharing, Trent and Lewis. Anyone else? Carl.
Okay. I have a confession. I started, you know how you read down the list and it has all the different things that are emotionally unhealthy spirituality? And it was funny, okay, confession time. Like I was reading down and I was like, I know somebody that does that, and I know somebody that does that. Like judging the spiritual journey of authors. Like,
the gotcha, right? That last one. Too true.
I think if you look at that list, honestly, there isn't anybody who won't find more than one on the list that they need to work on. So, and if it's not now, wait till next week. And,
right.
Excuse me, there'll be something else that comes up there. But the idea of a Sabbath, I know you and I talked about that a little bit yesterday morning, and I think that's something I'm being convicted about as well.
Good.
I love how with a lot of the stories, you don't necessarily see where it's going to end up. It's like you try to question, why would bad things happen to give people a pleasure aspect? And then all of a sudden, you see in the long run that when you look back, all those things were happening for a plan of God. Like in the story of Joseph, he went through all those terrible things, his brothers was treating him and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, it was for a great cause to save the nation. And God has a purpose for each and every one of us. We may not see it now, but as we look back in our physical life.
Excellent.
I think the coolest thing that when I look at that list, I realize that in spite of our sins, in spite of our stiff-necked attitudes, in spite of all the places where we are so messed up, God is still good and He's still able to use even our messed up part. And He does amazing things when we let Him, when we relinquish it to Him. And He takes those terrible things and He doesn't end the story there.
Yeah, that's a great, great point. Yeah, the story of your life is not over. In fact, this morning in Sunday school, there was an actuary tablet, a table that was distributed so that we could all figure out how much more life we have to live, which was a little sobering, especially since I had a birthday this week, so I had to move up yet another level on the table. Not that we, statistically speaking, how much life we have left. But your story is not over. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And if anything, what I want you to get out of this series, and certainly today, is a message of hope that God is not done with you yet. Like Joseph, you may feel like you're stuck in a prison cell, but there's a whole lot of life left to go. There's a whole lot of exciting things in store, and I'm not going to promise that any of you are going to become the Vice President of the United States of America and be the number two leader in the land. There's no guarantees about your future. But I can tell you this, that God cares about your future, that God loves you, and He does truly have a wonderful plan for your life. And even if you feel like there's more distance in the rear of your mirror than ahead of you, there are great things in store for you if you surrender your life to Christ. If you seek to follow Him, if you seek to fall deeper in love with Jesus and pursue Him instead of your own stuff. And it's tough. Because every single day we're confronted with all these messages in a culture that says it's all about you, it's all about you, it's all about you. We live in a very narcissistic age, a very narcissistic culture. It's just about money and power and stuff and toys. And if you just get all that stuff, you're going to be happy. And yet time after time after time, I hear stories, and I heard another one this morning, about people that try and pursue all that stuff, and then they get there and they get all this stuff and they realize, I'm so empty inside, because they forgot the most important thing, which is connecting with God, pursuing God. And all this whole series is about is helping you connect with God, connect with Jesus. So today we're going to conclude, and the encouragement is to go the next step to develop a rule of life. How many of you like rules? Is that a trick question? What are we? Okay, under 18, how many of you love rules? Kids are always honest. Yeah. No, we don't like rules, do we? Now, we're not actually talking about those kind of rules. The word actually comes from the Greek word for trellis. Any of you have a trellis in your yard, in your backyard or whatever? Yeah, a trellis, it's a guide. The idea of a trellis is it's something to help get the plants off the ground and helps guide them and helps them grow. This is true for grapes. It's true for different types of vines. It really helps make the plant more fruitful and productive. And in the same way, a rule of life helps guide us toward Christ, doing life with Christ and growing and maturing. You might say that a trellis is like a game plan for life. This idea of a rule of life. It's not a scorecard. It's just a guide to sort of help you learn and grow. Perhaps you've heard that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And sadly, most people, they really don't have a trellis. They don't have a rule. They don't have plans for life. They just kind of muddle through and go day by day and hope that just in the middle of the day, something radical is going to happen that's going to bless them and make them happy. You know, like maybe I'll get a phone call and find out I won the lottery, or, you know, I want a new car, or someone will knock on my door. We just expect some out of the ordinary thing just to land in our laps that's going to make us happy and joyful and successful the rest of our lives. But we all know that really doesn't happen too often. But we can do exciting and great things. Our lives can be filled with meaning and purpose and joy, but it doesn't just happen automatically. The road to good intentions is paved with all sorts of great things that never get accomplished because, well, let's face it, it requires action. And thinking about even the idea of this series starting in January, kind of the new year, everyone makes these New Year's resolutions. And how many of you made New Year's resolutions that you have are still going strong on? Raise your hand. Okay, quite a few of you. All right, good, good. Keep it up, right? 10 more months and you're golden. We make resolutions and there's something there, some sort of plan, some sort of behavior and action, a to-do list. And one of my favorite statements comes from Jim Collins, who's written Good to Great and Built to Last and some other just amazing, amazing books designed more for the business community. But he says everyone needs to have a to-do list and everyone needs a not-to-do list. Because as soon as you add something to your to-do list, you're going to have to find time and energy and resources to make that happen. It's not like we just have an extra 5 hours a day and $1,000 cash and we're going, okay, $1,000, 5 hours, what am I going to do today? And then tomorrow, same thing. 5 hours on our hands, $1,000, what are we going to do now? I mean, it just doesn't work that way. It'd be nice, but it doesn't work that way. So we need to not only develop a to-do list, but a not-to-do list. Most people, they live off of the spirituality of others rather than taking the time to develop their own direct experience of God. They direct and delegate their pursuit of God to someone else. Very often this is a pastor or a priest or something. They feel, well, if they go and do all that stuff with God, then I'll just kind of be busy. And if I ever need anything, I'll just check in with the spiritual guy. In the Old Testament, this sort of really happened. We had Moses, right? Moses and Aaron. And they, you know, Moses went up to visit God, grabbed the Ten Commandments and came down and told the people, this is what God said. And they're like, oh, cool. Don't look at our calf over here. But in our day, God wants to know us. He wants to know you and have a relationship with you. As radical and beautiful and absolutely scandalous as the cross was, watching Jesus die, experience all the pain and agony and suffering for you and me and our sins. Another really, 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 really radical thing happened that most of us can't begin to appreciate. This temple had a curtain, and the presence of God dwelt behind the curtain, and only behind the curtain, and only once a year could one person go behind the curtain and encounter God. And that curtain was ripped from top to bottom when Jesus said, "It is finished." That marked the moment in history when God said, I want to know you, and you don't need an intermediary, and you don't need a priest, and you don't need a go-between. You can know me. Radical. Radical thoughts. The early church, as described in the second chapter of the book of Acts, had a rule of life. They did life, and you heard it read, but we're going to just look at it again. And I want you to just kind of notice what sorts of actions and activities and practices the people in the early church engaged in to know God. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. How many of you wish you were there? Does that sound like a pretty cool experience? All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Maybe some of you, that verse seems a little more uncomfortable. Like, yeah, we like the signs, but we have to sell all our stuff. I kind of like my stuff. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day. Some of you are like, every day, how in the world? Now, this was a different culture. It was a different time period. This isn't the model for every single church, or else we'd be gathering every morning together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And the next verse sheds even more light. We usually stop here, but the next verse is interesting. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. So it seems to indicate that every day at 3 p.m. they were praying in addition to all this other stuff. See, it was more than just an hour on Sunday for the people. It was a lifestyle. It was an experience. It was an all-consuming passion of theirs to know God, and not just God in a vacuum. There's nothing in here about going into the little prayer closets by themselves. There's reference to prayer closets in the Bible, but there was this idea of community that they were coming together and doing life together. So, first, they were devoted to. This is a big word, devoted to. The word is more than just a thought or intention. Yeah, I want to do this stuff. That's a good idea. No, they were devoted. The word devoted in the Greek literally means to join, to adhere, to be ready, to give attention, to be faithful, to spend much time together. That's tough for us. It says that they were devoted to the apostles' teachings. The word of God was their guide. To fellowship. They were not a bunch of individuals seeking God in silos, but rather a community of faith, a family. Really, I think a lot like Sio. One thing I love about Sio is the sense that we are a family, and though we're kind of scattered all over and we don't live, most of us, close to one another, we gather together, we're a family, we do fellowship together, we break bread together, don't we? We did it last week, had a fantastic potluck, and you know, once a month we like to gather together, but not just here, in homes, in various places. And I know a lot of you are having each other over for dinner and having each other for lunch, and that's a fantastic thing. There's something really powerful about food. There is! And I'm not just talking about, I love chocolate or whatever. But there's something about the way that food activates our hearts, our conversations. There's a reason that people go to Starbucks and Big B and, let's see, I want to be equal opportunity, Caribou and all these other coffee shops. It's more than just for the beverage. There's something about drinking and eating together that just engages conversation. It sets a mood and a tone and creates opportunity to get to know each other. They were also devoted to prayer. And we all know prayer is a good thing to do. But they actually did it. Sometimes I think we talk more about prayer than we actually do. Or maybe you've been in a situation where you gather together, we're going to take 5 minutes for prayer requests, and then we'll take 30 seconds to pray. And it's like, I find that kind of interesting. So there was this trellis, there was this rule of life. And I don't say this as your pastor, but your brother in Christ. Jesus wants a relationship with you. He wants to be more than a historical figure. He wants to be more than just something in Sunday school class on a flannel board. He wants to know you. And the rule of life offers just a game plan, just some ideas, some options for you to consider to get to know God. There's no right or wrong way. This is not a do this and your life will be just wonderful. Think about this as suggestions. Okay? And in your bulletin, there's some fill in the blanks today. Some of you have been really get excited about fill in the blanks, and we don't do fill in the blanks too often. But this is your big day if you like to fill in the blanks. And we've got 12 blanks for you to fill out because Jesus had 12 disciples and there were 12 tribes of Israel, and actually, it has nothing to do with that. That's just what Peter Scazzaro in his book, Emotional Healthy Spirituality, listed as 12 things in the rule of life. So, experiment with this. Try them out. Try one thing. Try two things. Don't go home and try to do all 12 today. Forget about it. But, here's some things to think about. Are you ready? Okay. Intentionality. Don't write it down. I'm just letting you know, you've got to be intentional about this stuff. It's not enough to just write it on a piece of paper and hope it happens. It's going to require some action. Okay, so they're dividing the categories. Prayer. The first one is Scripture. Get into God's Word. Read and interact with the Sio Journal as we're reading through the Bible together. How many of you, at least once this month, you've been to the Sio Journal? Raise your hand. Okay. And how many of you, at least once this month, have been reading the readings that we're doing together? Okay. Hasn't it been incredible? Now, I said this month, some of you are like, I dropped off a week or two ago because all this sacrifice stuff in Leviticus is starting to freak me out. All right, bear with us. It gets better. There's some bumps in the road, and that's why we do this in community. But we're reading, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, we've been reading through the Bible together in community. Each day there's different readings. You get Saturday off as a Sabbath, but each day we're reading through the entire Bible together chronologically. And the Sio Journal is a place where you can read and interact with what other people are doing in this journey. And it has been incredible. I have been so blessed by what I'm reading and hearing different people talk about. And it's this common language where we just get together. I just talked about sacrifices and half of you are like, oh yeah, because we're all doing it together. Okay, silence and solitude. Dallas Willard says, silence is frightening because it strips us as nothing else does, throwing us upon the stark realities of our life. It reminds us of death, which will cut us off from this world and leaves us only with God. Some of you can't stand silence. It can be scary. I'm not a big fan of silence. I like noise in my life. But there's something about silence and solitude that just helps us, center us, and connects us with God. You might take a minute, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, a day, a week. Again, there's no rules to this. But carve out some time for silence and solitude. Psalm 37:7 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." The third thing is the daily office. And if you missed it, we were just talking a couple weeks ago about the daily office. That you have multiple times a day, pausing, stopping, reflecting, being aware of God's presence, reading His Word, praying, engaging with your Creator throughout the day. And the fourth thing is study. How many of you love to study? Like you just love to plot God's Word or you love to study books or whatever. Okay. How many of you love to study Facebook? Just get in there and some of you are lying. Okay. I'm not going to admit that. No, but there's something about study. And some of you, you know, God's wired you up. That's your spiritual pathway to study. And that's great. Some of you maybe not so much. But if it is, particularly if that's your pathway to study, read the Bible. Growing, maturing Christians are always exploring, reading, learning. I'm not a big reader, to be quite honest, but I listen to things all the time. I'm always listening to podcasts and sermons and various things. I'm always trying to learn and study. Okay, so that's the prayer category. The rest category. The first one is Sabbath. God commanded us to take 24 hours a week to stop, rest, delight, and contemplate the goodness of the Lord. Now here's a phrase that Peter Scazzaro used that almost offended me when I read it. But I want to play this out for you. Waste time and don't look at the clock. How's that for a definition of Sabbath? Now, that's not the entire definition, but waste time and don't look at the clock. If you find yourself doing that, not 7 days a week, okay? It's not the idea of, you know, some of you are like, yeah, I do that every day. We're not looking for that. But one day a week to take time and to rest and recharge. Take a Sabbath. Simplicity. This is the idea of just removing distractions and stuff from our life. One way to involve yourself in simplicity is actually to give financially, to show God you don't need all that He's given you, to trust Him and prove that you can do more with less. Maybe getting rid of some things on your calendar. Maybe just doing some things to reorient your life so that there's some simplicity in your life. For some of you, this may involve getting out of debt. And taking Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University that's going to be launching here on Tuesday evenings beginning April 24th. And if that's you, I can't recommend that course high enough. We're doing it not just for the people in this room, but especially for the people that aren't in this room, your friends, neighbors, and coworkers. Tuesday nights beginning April 24th. Get out of debt. It's going to be amazing. And it's more than just a financial course. Many have called it the best marriage course available. And if you're not married, it's a great life map course. There's a lot of great, great teachings. Jesus talked more about money than heaven and hell combined. Which is why we're going to talk about it here the next 3 weeks. And then play and recreation. Many Christians are fun deficient. I'm just telling it to you straight. How many of you have ever met a really boring Christian? How many of you are real? Ecclesiastes 3:4 says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And that's why even with worship this morning, we started with a slow song and then we had some celebratory songs and we brought it down to slow. Some of you are like ready to worship and sing and celebrate and you want to shout from the rooftops. And some of you, it's just been a long, really hard week for you. The cool thing is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He loves it when you laugh. He loves it when you mourn. He loves it when you cry. He loves it when you dance. And there's times and seasons for all of those things. We take ourselves way too seriously, many of us, and we don't take God seriously enough. And so I want to give you permission to play and have fun. Who knows? Maybe if we were known as more playful, fun people, the world might want to actually join us and be a part of this movement of Christianity instead of being with a bunch of sourpusses that are boring and serious all the time. Yes, I see that hand. Great humor, yes. Great humor. There's a lot that we can all learn from Joel about great humor. So if that's not your gift, spend some time with Joel. It'll rub off. That's what community is all about. We share with one another. We encourage one another. and we benefit from the great humor of one another. Yes. So some of us, we need to laugh and dance more. We're like, dancing? We're not Baptists. It's okay. Really, dancing is in the Bible. And there's friends, look, the Jewish people, when they celebrated, they didn't sing happy birthday with a cake and have an hour-long party. They partied for days. For days. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from that. Have any of you been to a Jewish wedding? A few of you? If you've never been to a Jewish wedding, find one in town and crash it. Seriously. I DJed a Jewish wedding a couple years ago, and it was more fun than I have had. Oh, they know how to celebrate. It was clean. It was legal. They just had a blast. And I think that's really a much clearer model for what God wants our lives to be about than the drudgery that we often live in. All right. Activity. Service and mission. How can you use your time, talent, and treasures to bless others around your neighborhood and around the world? We've talked about this, and we'll continue to talk about this and create ways corporately, but also individually, to be involved in service and mission to others. And then care for the physical body. Rest, exercise, and diet are all vital. It's really hard to serve the Lord and serve others when you're in the hospital or 6 feet under. So many times we just run and go, go, go. And Sabbath is a part of that rest, caring for the body, but also, you know, what you put into your body and sleep. Some of you are just really, really sleep deprived. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Except during my sermon. Okay. And then relationships. Emotional health. Pay attention to your feelings. You know, journaling is a great exercise. We haven't talked about this at all in the series, but sometimes journaling is a great way to just articulate your thoughts and your feelings. It can be a very private thing. You know, no one ever has to see it, but it just sometimes helps to engage it and get it out. Obviously, sometimes seeing a friend or a Christian counselor can be very, very helpful in that process as well. Pay attention to your emotional gauges. And, you know, again, Ben, you know, you highlighted it. But as I said last week, Wayne Cordero's quote, people don't learn from experiences. They learn from reflecting on those experiences. And so it's really important to reflect on stuff in life, even the painful stuff. And sometimes it requires just getting some help to deal with that. And then family, invest in your marriage, your children, your parents, your siblings, your family. And of course, these days, that's not necessarily your nuclear family, because so many of us, we don't have family or family nearby. So we have a church family. We have really close friends and coworkers and neighbors that become like family, and investing in those relationships. And then community. Invest in relationships within SIO and beyond, and find ways to add value to the life of others. It's one of my favorite phrases that kind of hit me a couple years ago. The idea of adding value to others. If each of us sought to add value to the life of the people in our lives, I think, one, we would feel so much better about being a blessing that way. We would have a lot more people that want to be with us and a lot more friends in our lives. So seek ways to add value to the lives of others. So that's it. Now, there are, I'm sure, plenty of other things that you can add to the list. Again, this is just a sample. It's just some suggestions, some things that you can do over the next day, week, month, year, and life to try to get to know God, develop your relationship with God, and then not only to love God, but to love others. And we said last week, the way that we love God is often by loving others. And so finding things, some of these are done privately, some of them are done publicly, but they're just tools for your toolbox, ultimately to help you to know and love Jesus. Benedict wrote 1,500 years ago, your way of acting should be different from the world's way. The love of Christ must come before all else. So what's your next step? As a church family, we want to live these out and other elements in community. And as many of you know, we've been undergoing throughout this series and throughout this whole year something that we call the radical experiment. We're praying for the entire world and reading through the entire word, but also sacrificing money for a specific purpose. We haven't necessarily identified this for us as a corporate group, but you may have a project of your own. Maybe it's sponsoring a child with Compassion International, or giving some money to Hope Clinic or some other causes, giving our time in another context, another thing that we're working on plans and developing, and some exciting opportunities coming down the pike that you're going to hear about in the coming days. And I guess we can announce, Joel, we're going to do the Dexter Ann Arbor Run, right? We're going to be sponsoring that and having volunteers and runners and participants. It's just a local activity that's nearby. It's a way that we can bless the city and bless our neighbors. And some of you that love to run, this will be great for you. Some of you that don't like to run, it's a way to get out of your comfort zone, because we talked about exercise a moment ago. And if you don't want to do that, then you can probably pass out cups of water and Gatorade and whatever's going on. There's a lot more details to come. But the date is Sunday, June 3rd. Sunday, June 3rd. So stay tuned to that. So we're going to do, you know, different ways to serve, and then committing our lives to a multiplying community, which we call SIO. So to kind of wrap up, I want to just let you know about a couple things. This Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Knox Presbyterian is the launch, the kickoff for 40 days of prayer. And we've been involved in this many, many, many years. We're starting a prayer movement of 40 days of nonstop prayer in Washtenaw County. We're partnering with other churches all across the county. And so the kickoff is Tuesday at 7, and you're all invited. It's going to be a gathering of people from all over Washtenaw County. And then along with that, you can sign up for your hour of prayer. Actually, we've got 48 time slots to fill, technically 46. But February 21st is the beginning of this whole 40 days of prayer. But we have 2 days as a church. There's a sign-up sheet as you leave. And we'd love for you to take one or more time slots and fill that and commit to pray. You don't have to come here to do it. You can pray wherever you want to. But what we want to do is cover 48 hours of prayer as a church. You can sign up for more than one slot. You can sign up for, well, 46 if you want. You might want to take a rest in there somewhere. But we would love to get everyone involved in taking 1 hour, at least one time slot, at least 1 hour in praying. Now some of you are like, an hour to pray? What in the world would I do for an hour to pray? Well, I got an idea for you. There's a prayer booklet, and you can grab prayer booklets, and we also have these available. It's similar to some of the stuff we're doing in the online journal, but each day it lists a different country, a different theme, different things for you can pray for during the 40 days. And they're normally $3. We got a special deal on them for $1 a piece. And if you don't have $1, just take a book. All right. But the sign-up sheet and the books are available as soon as you leave. Want to make sure you have opportunities to check those out, because it's going to be a great way over these next 40 days to prepare for Easter, to prepare our hearts, to pray and be engaged not only as an individual and as a church, but as a community as we do this with churches from all across Washtenaw County. So that's it. What's your next step? What are your next steps? And as the band comes up, we're going to close with a song that we've done many times around here called Mighty to Save. And the first words say that everyone needs compassion. We've been talking about a lot of really, really difficult things during this series. And I just applaud you for coming and for facing some really, really challenging messages. I think we all have different next steps to take. And because we don't want to judge the spiritual journey of others, each one is going to be different. And I encourage you to experiment with these different things. Try different things. Kind of see what works. Develop rhythms and patterns. It's not like you can just instantly change your lifestyle overnight. But find ways to connect with God, to love God, and then to love others in community. And know that we serve a God who is gracious, and He's filled with love and compassion. And He's mighty to save. He's in the process of changing my life and in changing so many of our lives. And I think if we seek Him and seek Him with all of our heart, as the Scripture says, that we are going to live fantastic, dynamic lives for His honor and glory. Amen? Let's stand.